Yeah, and that's one good thing about this, we have to hope, is that it gives people pause, right? We've all been on a treadmill or like lemmings on our way to jump over the cliff with the sort of the hedonistic, materialistic society in which we find ourselves. And this pandemic has shown the frailty and fragile nature of globalism. That basically we put all our eggs in one basket, so if one of them goes bad, the rest of us are in trouble. So it's taught lessons about globalism, and you're right, it's also teaching people how do I live more healthily? What can I do, basically, to minimize the globalist aspects of the dangers out there? And what you said about the immune systems, by the way, you know, that it's age-old practice that when that mothers would take their children. If they heard that one of their friends' children had got chickenpox, they would take their children around there to expose their own kids to chickenpox, so that they would actually get it early on, and then have an immunity to it thereafter. So you know, again, you know, we shouldn't be sort of running and cocooning ourselves away the first time anybody mentions a word like virus.
Well, and not only with the chickenpox. If one kid in the house got the flu, stick them all right. In the same room.
Right.
Make them all get it now, so I don't have to deal with it later.
Right. You know, and again, if you look at the statistics, you know, I don't want to minimize the fact of obviously the old and weak and the frail and the sick are the ones that are most
sure.
most prone to actually having the fatal aspects of the coronavirus. But the fact is that young people are not killed by it. It's extremely rare. Children are basically not at all. We have to be sensible. You know, the whole thing about big government is the whole mentality, the whole psychology of big government is one size fits all. Big Brother lays down one law and everybody has to squeeze into that square peg, regardless of what shape they are. And that's the crazy nature of the world in which we live, is where basically big government only understands that we need one government, big law, and everybody else just has to conform to the one-size-fits-all culture. And that's not human life. It's certainly not healthy human life, you know, because we actually should have a healthy diversity. And that includes a healthy diversity where liberty is concerned. We should be able to make choices and not have choices made for us by overbearing government.
Joseph Pierce is the author of too many books for me to list here, but some of my favorites are Literary Converts. Recently, we have a biography of J.R.R. Tolkien, a biography or a look at some of the work of C.S. Lewis, Narnia further up, further in. Literature, what every Catholic needs to know. Many of these books are available, signed by Joseph, in the Founders Trading Post at MikeChurch.com/shop. As a matter of fact, this is the first time in many, many years you actually don't have a new book out, and it's spring. What's going on?
Yeah, I know. It's true. It's been almost a year, I think, since this is what every Catholic should know. Well, I spent all my time doing radio interviews, Mike. I'm writing a book at the moment, which I think you'll love. It's a history of true England. In other words, a history of Catholic England, right from back to the Romans through the 20th century. So that's what I'm researching now. And I do have a book coming out in the autumn. I don't know if my publisher's given me permission to mention what it is yet, because it's been under wraps.
Okay.
So I will have a book out this calendar year, but yeah, it would be basically 18 months gap between us. So that's a long time, I agree.
Aidan Mackey's probably disappointed. He's probably didn't get to add anything to his shelf this year. Along those lines, so you're following Chesterton's footsteps, writing a book on the history of married old England.
I am. I want to show that the true England, the England to which I owe allegiance patriotically, is the Catholic England. And the narrative of Catholic England is one of numerous saints and numerous heroic martyrs, great culture, resist the tyranny. I mean, all the great literature and all the great things we need to make a full and rich life we see in the history of Catholic England. You know, and it's the same of other countries. I mean, somebody could write the same book about France or Spain or Italy. That's the glory, you know, that Solzhenitsyn spoke about the nations of Europe, or the nations of the world, basically, as being individual and unique and beautiful flowers in the garden of God. Mm. And that's why I'm against globalism, because, you know, the individual nations and their histories are beautiful, and each of us can enjoy other people's nations and cultures authentically for what they are, and want that to remain sovereign and independent from a sort of monoculture, Monsanto monotony, which is what globalists want. So I'm just hoping that I can show that at least my own country is a beautiful Catholic flower.
Well, it is, and having been there, I can vouch for the natural beauty, especially in late summer, of Yorkshire and Lancashire.
Oh yeah,
just to drive through Yorkshire and Lancashire, man, you talk about a vacation getaway. Of course, we may never be able to do that again, because I am not getting on a flying metal tube for 8 or 9 hours, having to sit there with an N95 mask wrapped around my cranium and blue nitrite gloves on and every other Hades forsaken thing that they've come up with. If I want to go back to England, I might have to get on a boat.
I tell you what, if you had the time, it'd be much more enjoyable and a great adventure.
Yes.
I haven't done it myself, but yes, but you and I should go together.
We'll get on a boat and we'll go.
The Mike Church voyage.
Mike Church voyage. I had a couple things that I've seen that I thought, you know what, I'm going to ask Joseph about this, because this is right up his alley. One thing that I, let me see if I can connect this dot, then that you will approve of my connection. In The Lord of the Rings, in the, where there's the Tower of Sauron, Sauron is the all-seeing eye. Now, in the movies, it's flaming and, you know, it's got this this kind of retina that's around it that kind of holds it at the top of this tower. But the point is, and I don't know if Peter Jackson gets this right, because I have not read all of The Lord of the Rings. I was never able to complete the book. But in the movie, the Eye of Sauron never goes out. It is always on. This is, and the Freemasonic symbol is the all-seeing eye that we see on the back of the dollar bill. And we have seen, just in the course of the last year, with the arrest and then the revelation of what many thousands, if not tens of thousands of people knew about Jeffrey Epstein and the global pedophile rings, we have seen a unmasking of evil and of Satan's master plan for us moderns anyway, that is just being... if I must say, and I don't say this because I like it, I say it because I admire his tenacity and the plan that Beelzebub and Moloch and the boys are executing this thing with precision. They don't sleep. They don't take breaks. They don't take no for an answer. And we are now living under, and we can see this, there are many men that have been revealed that have to be in league with the all-seeing eye, kind of like the orcs on the ground. I think Tolkien, if he were alive today, would see what he wrote in The Lord of the Rings actually coming to fruition. But there are few of us that are actually from the Shire, or maybe from what is the land with the elves?
Lothlorien?
Yes.
Rivendell?
Rivendell. There are a few of us that are that can actually see what it is that Sauron has planned, which he always has planned. You know, he's always had this planned. But it looks like he's getting very close to actually pulling the trigger. And one of the things that we have seen out of all this has been the total unmasking now of people that we always knew to be evil. They have revealed themselves to be evil, and it seems like that eye of Sauron is there now, and it's government, and it's all of this social media and all these media powerhouses, all now just looking at everything that we do, all knowing and all seeing. So it seems like we're all on some sort of a quest now to find that ring and throw it in the pit of Mount Doom.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, obviously, and Tolkien would see that there was an element of prescience in Lord of the Rings, that the power of big government is coming to maturity. He saw the danger of technology as facilitating that. He was horrified by the invention of television. He was horrified by the way that the radio was used by all sides in World War II for propaganda, which is just a euphemism for lies, of course. But one thing I would say, his description of the relationship between men and women, male and female, I think is very good. And he says that we are companions in shipwreck. And that's very powerful, because the point is we do have to understand that the world, in many respects, is enemy territory, mm-hmm. and it's a shipwreck. And that's been the case since Adam and Eve. Now, it takes various forms, and certainly the new technological forms are novel.